Hello, Nora. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity of reading for you. Now, here, your first question, Nora, was about progressing in your professional life and how to do so. But first, I'll start with some background. What's indicated here is that you've just finished, well, just meaning in November, a 2-year phase of Pluto, planet that challenges everything that we think we believe. It's been opposing, fighting with your moon, which is the deepest part of you. It's a place where you go to make sense of the world. And what it's done is it's probably shaken your perception of the world around you and maybe challenged your trust in people. But it also can lead to just old-fashioned restlessness. That aspect, as I said, ended in November. And now there's a window of activity. So you're able to sit back now and look at things, look at your professional life with, less jaundiced eyes and just a little more clearly and a little more strategically. The really good news is that by the end of April, Mars, planet of energy and activity, is going to be zooming along in the part of your chart that rules your career. So it talks about an opportunity being right there. Run to it. Just say, hey, I want to do this. Don't worry too much about, oh, am I qualified? And should I, consult with friends and people first and write 10 different resumes and pick the best one? No, don't worry about any of that. Just go for it. Now, what I also like to do when I'm doing readings for people is, apart from looking at the real astrology part, I also like to go to and consult, I should say, what we call the Delphi Oracle. The Delphi Oracle is basically like astrological tarot. And the image I got for you when I consulted the oracle was of, well, the actual reading I got was the sun in first house in Gemini. And that's the image of the person working in the community and asking questions. So here, what I'm getting is just ask people, okay, how did you get your job? Wow, what's it like to work at your company? Do they need anybody? Don't worry about that. I think you're a little bit, sometimes you're a little bit too diplomatic and maybe a little bit too sensitive, to other people's feelings. You don't want to be, railroading them into, working for you and finding you work or finding you a job. But don't worry, people appreciate it when they're asked these questions, because they feel that they're being taken seriously and that their advice, insights are worthwhile. So it's really about networking, okay? Your second question. So anyway, before the second question, sorry, April. So okay, the end of April is really important for you in terms of career. I just want to remind you of that. Okay, question number two. How can I welcome in more abundance and wealth into my life? Well, this is really interesting because Jupiter, the planet of abundance, is going to be in this beautiful aspect with your birth Jupiter for the first 2 weeks of June. That talks about an opportunity, the kind of opportunity that only presents itself every 12 years. So please, please, please jump on whatever it is. And it could even seem like something rather innocuous or something not that important, but will end up being so. So first 2 weeks of June, keep your eyes open. Now, this abundance could be material, but also can be emotional. It could be making new friends also. And it can be maybe joining a group that you hadn't thought of joining before. But often we do, not often, we usually do interpret this physically as well, that physical abundance. Okay? So we're talking about the opportunity for abundance of thought, feeling, and material. So we have that. Good. Now, when I went to the oracle again, when I consulted the oracle again, what I got, we're getting a lot of Mercury for you. I got Mercury in the sixth house in Virgo. This is a triple dose of Mercury energy. Mercury energy is not just about communication. Well, it is. It's always about communication. But when it's in Virgo, sixth house, it's about manifestation. So what I'm getting here is that, yeah, this is an opportunity for you to be manifesting what you want, what sort of abundance you want. But I'm going to look at this from another perspective. I would like you to write a list of the things that you don't need, the things maybe I'm not saying you don't want, but the things you really don't need in your life, or that you used to think you wanted, but now, not that important. Then what that's going to do, that's going to leave you room psychically and intellectually and emotionally for the things that really will add to your life. And it's really interesting when we write these lists up. It's really fascinating because it's kind of like, you know, those shows where someone comes into your house and they rearrange your cupboards for you and, you know, they help you organize a garage sale. It's that sort of thing. And once you do that, once you've cleaned up things and you have more room inside of you, then the stuff will come, the things will come that really add to your life. So this is sort of like a little exercise that I think is going to work for you specifically. Your last question, what are the lessons I need to learn from my relationships and how can I grow from them? Okay, first, before I get into that, the real answer, I'm going to give you some background. In your birth chart, you have your Venus, which talks about our love language, not just with lovers, but with friends as well. Conjunct, meaning together with that Pluto, you know, obsessive Pluto, and Mercury, the way we think. In Scorpio, the most intense sign of the zodiac, in the 12th house. The 12th house is a house of dreams and things that are unspoken and the things we worry about that nobody would ever think we would. And the things we dream about too, could be positive, negative, everything. It's one of the most intense combinations I've seen, most intense emotional combinations I've seen. So I think for you, I'm going to look at things a little differently. I think here, in order to counterbalance that, I think you might have to move toward looking at relationships as things that just are, that help, not help you, but remind you what life is about. So they're not about things where you have to save someone or someone has to save you or make someone happy or someone makes you happy. No, it's being with. And it's something as simple as being a kid and they're just this other kid you just love spending time with. And it should be that way for us as adults, even with lovers, not just with, you know, friends. So what I'm getting here is to maybe put the old ways of thinking about relationships aside and only think of or deal with people and relationships and situations that are easy, that vibe with you rhythmically, that make you just light and happy, and where there's not too much negotiation going on and not too much processing, because it's easy for you to get dragged into that. So again, it's sitting back and thinking, oh, what makes me happy in life? Not about who can make me happy. What makes me happy in life? Oh, I love going to art galleries, or I love reading, or I love dancing, or I love music, or I love working, I like helping people. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to be with people who do that too. So it's about people who mirror who you are rather than people who are going to make you think too much about who you are. So in terms of the learning from relationships, let's just take a break from that and say, no, relationships are things that are about being alive. They're not necessarily life lessons. And I think that's something you're going to have to embrace a little bit more. For other people, yeah. I would advise some other people, I say, hey, listen, you have to really think about relationships and you have to take them more seriously and or you have to honor them more or all whatever with you already do that. You know, there's no issue with that. Now, so when I went and looked at the oracular aspect of this, the Delphi Oracle, the images I got was the South Node, the 9th house in Taurus. In normal English, the South Node is where we come from. It's not about where we're headed or the karmic things we have to accomplish or duties that we've maybe been trying to evade. The South Node are things that are just easy for us. So for example, some people have a South Node in Gemini. Well, they have the gift of the gab, you know what I mean? You know? Or they have a South Node in Aries. Oh, they're really good at cutting through nonsense and making things happen. You have your South Node in the 9th, with the Oracle, not your birth chart, I'm talking about the Oracle. The South Node in the 9th in Taurus. So that's saying, oh, go back to the simple things that give you pleasure. This is apropos of your question about relationships. Seriously, it's about, oh, a relationship is supposed to kind of like, oh, jive with the way I think. So it's about like-minded people who enjoy the same things you do. And I know that sounds maybe simplistic, but you wouldn't believe how hard it is sometimes to get rid of our old emotional vocabulary and to focus on something that actually is really simple. So I hope there's not too much information here. I wanted to give you a little more of a timeline for this question. The others, I gave you a clearer timeline. So with this one, the timeline I'm picking up is similar to the one for profession, the end of April, but this one, end of April, but all the way into about the third week of May. So that's a timeline for your relationship question. So that could manifest in the in terms of meeting new people, meeting a group of people, or actually being attracted to someone who is just super easy to be with, you know, that sort of thing. Now, I hope this is clear. I know it's a lot of information. I just want to wish you well and all the best. And thank you for your questions. They were very insightful. Okay, bye now.